This is Conversations with Corliss, the podcast that features real and inspiring people who are leading their lives with purpose, passion, and confidence. Through their stories, advice, and expertise, you will be empowered with tools and insights to become the leader you are meant to be. Your host, Corliss, is a Dare to Lead trained, certified success principles coach, best-selling author, and inspirational speaker. As an entrepreneur for more than two decades, she has coached, trained, and mentored thousands to tap into their personal power and realize their potential. Through her company, Corliss Co., she will help you dream again and break through what holds you back from leading the life you want to have. Connect with her today at corliss.ca.
Hi, everyone. This is Conversations with Corliss, a real leadership podcast. Here we will talk about all the things it takes to bravely lead the life you deserve. Welcome to the conversation. You may have guessed it. My name is Corliss, and I created this podcast simply because I want to help people and make a bigger impact. You see, one day I woke up in my 40s and realized time stands still for no one. With my kids more independent, my career not as fulfilling as it once was, I found myself wondering if this was it and what was next for me. I went looking for answers to recreate my life, and I found them in having meaningful conversations with inspiring people. That's what we'll do here for you. Whatever you're looking for, I'm glad you're here. Aging has given me the invaluable insight that we should make every moment count. It's time to take charge of your life, to rise up and be all you can be. This podcast is meant to help you do that. So let's get started. This is episode 074, How to Fall in Love with Your Life with Mickey McGilvery. Happiness. Everyone wants it, but not all seem to have it. Do you ever wonder why? In this episode, we talk about happiness and how falling in love with your life might be easier than you think. A wise person once said, "When you love what you have everything you need to be happy." So perhaps loving our lives can be simpler than we make it out to be. In this conversation, you will learn some strategies to live happier and fall in love with your life over and over again. Mickey is someone with a big heart and an even bigger passion for life. She constantly demonstrates that when you love what you do and who you are with, you will love your life. It's a choice. And because it is, it's possible for everyone. I hope you enjoy the listen and make sure and tag a friend, share this to your stories, and invite them to be happier and fall in love with their lives too. So hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today. I am really excited to get back to podcasting. I have had a really busy last 6-7 months, and I couldn't wait to get back here, and I can't think of a better guest to begin the restart of the Conversations with Corliss podcast than with this incredible woman who loves her life and has such an energy and such a beautiful... I think I'm going to call it energy because she does have this beautiful energy and passion for life. And I actually got to witness it firsthand as I watched her facilitate a fundraiser in our local community last weekend. And all I could think was, I got to get her on the show. She has to share some of that with all of you. So here we are today. Welcome to the show, Mickey McGilvery.
Thank you for having me today. This is fun.
It is fun. So tell me, have you ever been on a podcast before?
I have not, Corliss. You are my first.
Well, there we go. That's exciting. So everyone, she's a normal human being, just like you and I. And this is her first podcast. It's not like she's a pro podcaster. But that's one of the things that's unique about this show, I think, is the fact that a lot of times we can listen to other things and, you know, all these big names. And it's like, oh, they're so inspiring. They're so awesome. But then when you peel it back, it's like, are they like me? And we are all just the same. Underneath it all, we're all the same. So that's what this conversation is going to be all about today. Things that are really practical and mindsets and ideas and advice and true stories that you can apply to your own life as well. So Mickey, you love your life. Did you always love your life? Tell me where this began.
You know, I can honestly say with 100% certainty that yes, I've always just loved my life. Grew up in a small town or a small farm in central Saskatchewan, and you know, right from what I can remember, I've always just loved life. I've loved people, and I really do. I love life. Seems weird to say that, but I do. I've loved my life, and I hope to continue to love my life for a long time, but I do.
Amazing. Okay, so do you think it's a mindset though? I know you have a story, a backstory here that you're going to share, but for the person who is like, I can't say I've loved my life, what would you say to them?
I want to ask them if they're trying hard enough, because I don't, you know, we're all dealt different hands in life, right? And I feel like I've been very lucky. You know, grew up, like I said, on a farm. Mom and dad worked very hard on that farm and showed my brother and sister and I what love looks like and what hard work looks like. And I've worked hard. I've worked my butt off, you know, to give our kids, my husband and I, and our kids the best life. And I've just been happy doing it because I guess why not? Life is to be lived and it's to be loved, and even through hardship, which I've had my fair share, but you come out on the other end just loving what this life has given us, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
So I'm actually hearing that it's an attitude. It's actually a choice, because I happen to know that you have gone through some significantly difficult things. I remember one instance in particular where you lost a friend, and it was tragic and hard, and yet somehow you still love your life. So talk with us about that.
Yeah, you know, losing Crystal, who was my friend, you know, it was tragic, and it's kind of ironic. About 10 days or 12 days before she died, her New Year's resolution was everything happens for a reason, even if we don't know or understand why. And, you know, just a few short days later, she was killed by a drunk driver that killed her and her unborn child. And that was one of the worst, you know, months, weeks of my life. But Crystal taught me so much in our short friendship, and she loved life, and you can't not continue life. And so you learn to live it through those people, and because of those people that, you know, that you've learned tragedy from.
Almost like you get to live, we get to live, and to honor them, we need to like really show up and love our lives. So again, I'm hearing choice.
Yes, it's a choice. It really is a choice. And, you know, again, there's some choices that we don't get a choice in, but our choice is to move on and do the best that we can and live that life the best that we can.
And to choose an attitude. I think what I'm hearing is that you're choosing an attitude, because you said, are you trying hard enough? Like, so I think you can correct me if I'm wrong, but basically what I'm hearing is like, focus on the good things, focus to have the attitude of gratitude and to love your life and to just make that choice every day, no matter what happens.
Yes, absolutely. And hardship, you know, there's lots of people that suffer, you know, terminal diseases and major losses in your life. And I'm not saying that we have to be happy through that. You can't be happy through that. But we have to choose to continue to live this life that is, you know, not always positive, but it's a life that we were given, and we should be so grateful. And those hardships just make us stronger, and they make us, you know, just stronger and better.
That's really amazing. I actually just had an appointment with a doctor, and he was telling me that he needs to send me to a specialist. And as he was telling me that he was sending me to a specialist, I asked how long, you know, like about until I'd be getting in. And, you know, he said it'll probably be a couple of months. And I think he could tell by the look on my face that I was like, really? Like a couple months? That's a long time. And he said, you know, I have patients who have been on morphine for over a year because they can't get into a doctor. Like, we just can't get them in. Like, the system is so stretched. And I said to him, that must be really hard for you. And he said, you know, I don't think anybody's ever said that to me before. And I said, well, it must be really hard for you to be in the caring industry, want to help people and have your hands tied a little bit, you know? And he said, you know what? I just do everything that I can, like for everybody that I can. And I think that's kind of what I witnessed you do this weekend when I was a part of the Swinging with the Stars. And that was kind of my attitude going into it too. I do what I can when I can. So it does give you a beautiful energy though too. So it's not just about feeling grateful and finding the good. When you are in that headspace, you have energy and you basically glow. I watch it on you all the time. So, how do you love your life, Mickey?
I don't know. I just feel so blessed, I guess, that my husband and I have raised three beautiful daughters who have found, their partners and all have children, and I have a job that I can give back to the community in such a great way, and the children of our province. I have such a good group of friends that I just love and adore, and I get to go out into the community of Prince Albert, share my passion, share my love, and I'm a people person. Days when I'm stuck in this office at home in Emma Lake, it gets a little long because I love people and I love to be around and I love to share my energy and my kids and my husband, my family, friends, they're what make me glow. They really are. And my grandkids, man, oh man,
The
Corliss.
best. Yes, because I have a new grandson. Oh, can I tell you a funny grandma story? Because he's only 7 months and he lives away from me. So I see him really often, but we FaceTime every single day. And yesterday, my daughter said, look, he's learned to give me five. So she was getting him to give her five. And then I said, can you give me five? And I put my hand there and honest to goodness to the screen. He flapped his hand as if he was hitting my hand. And I was like, okay, these children are growing up in such a different generation. But to him, it was just normal. Give me five through the phone screen, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, those grandbabies are just. I seen a, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but my grandson watching me dance on Saturday.
Oh.
It's just the love on his face, and that love is just so unconditional. And I'm telling you, those grandbabies, that's what I live for now.
Yeah, I get that. I am so lucky I get to get that because I now have the new grandma experience. Okay, so before we were talking about how you love your work family, you love your family. So have you ever worked with anyone difficult?
I was a manager for about 8 years, so that in itself is that's a tough job, managing 30 to well 20 to 30 staff, and difficult comes every day, but it's how you lead that team and how you support each other that makes it a little bit easier. But difficult people are going to cross our path every single day, whether it's in the workplace, in the public, in our own families. And it's just being open and honest with those people, I think, and really just working through it together, which I know sounds cheesy, but you have to have that mindset that you can make it, you can work through it. And sometimes it doesn't work. It just doesn't work, and you can't, work together with those people. But as long as you give it your all and you try your best, really, that's all we can do.
So you don't let it steal your joy. That's the first thing. So you kind of look, so what I heard in what you just said there was that first of all, it's going to happen. I mean, it happens. There's going to be that's just life. That's part of, being around people. And instead of, jumping to the conclusion or shying away from it, it's like you try and work it out together. You don't let it steal your joy. See, these are all choices. These are all choices. It's all an attitude. It's all an outlook, right? So it's like you can't let it steal your joy. You give your best and then you let it go. Is that what you do?
Yeah, and you know what? Some days it is going to steal your joy for a day or two, but it's also comes to that support system that you have around you, whether it's a husband or a partner or your kids, or it is going to steal your joy, and sometimes you just have to let it for an hour or two. But then it's just got to go, because that joy, we need joy. We need to you know, we need that in our life. So it's probably going to steal it, but you just got to steal it back and move on. And you can only do what you can do for yourself and the people around you. So I've dealt with it. But I've survived. I've survived. And
so how do you take it back? So we're talking about how to fall in love with your life. So there's difficult situations, there's traumas, there's tragedies, there's difficult people, there's circumstances, there's all kinds of things that go on in people's lives. And usually when people come to a podcast and they're listening for how do I fall in love with my life, it's because they're searching for something. So give us some how-to. How do you do it?
Sometimes it's, you know, digging deep into a good old novel and just forgetting the world around me. And music is a huge, I always have music on in this house. We're empty nesters, you know, music is a huge thing for me. And I go right from rock and roll to gospel music. You know, but I also think of what's important to me. What do I need to be happy? And it's not negative people. It's my kids. It's my grandkids. It's, you know, my coworkers. And I really just have to remember that every day, what I'm working for and what am I striving for? You know, am I right now it's for the Children of Hope's home. You know, next week it's a little bit different for me. So, I really just think often, what can I do for myself today? You know, to make today better for the people that I love and care about. And just pushing that negativity and that stuff aside, you know, is just what you have to do. And I don't know, it's the books, it's the music, and it's just deciding for me what I want and what's going to make me a better person for those that really care about me.
I love that. Super powerful stuff. It sounds like it's so simple, right? Yeah. Isn't that the thing?
Yeah, it sounds simple and again cheesy sometimes, but you know, we can't go through life just worrying about what everybody is doing wrong to us. Like we would spend so much time crying and angry, and I can't do that. I'm 50. I don't know how old I am, Cordless. I think I'm 52. I have to spend my life just knowing that what I'm doing is making a difference. And I have to do that for me. And I have to do that for my kids and my grandkids and for my marriage, really. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Maybe it really is that simple. Do you ever think that sometimes we just complicate life a little bit more than it needs to be?
I absolutely agree. Yeah. And, you know, social media is hard. When you look at all the other perfect lives on social media, that's hard. It's hard to watch, especially if you're going through a little bit of trouble. And I'm a social media gal. I love social media. I love TikToks, but sometimes that phone just has to go away because it really works on your mind, and just getting away from that and focusing on what is real.
What is real and what's right in front of you. Amazing. Yeah, I like that a lot. I think sometimes we should all have a break from screens, I think. And it's funny because this month in my business, I have what's called the Feel Your Best Bingo. And one of the squares on there is to take a 24-hour social media break. And they had a month to do it to get their bingo. And it turns out that for everybody that's participating, that's like, they're like, that is the hardest square. That is the hardest square to do. Like, to 24 hours to be away from it is so long.
Yeah, that's how we do life, is on our phones. Like, I get, even your grandkids, right? That's how you see them, and
yeah,
everything is on this device, which is very sad. I feel like we've really lost a disconnect between people.
So how do you connect with people? Let's talk some about that. Like, real connections. You know, I witnessed your friendships, and I can tell that a lot of the people that are in your life, they just mean so much to you, and you're really with them. Like, you care about them, and It's, you know, your passion. You come from a place of love. It's wonderful. And I think that all contributes to connection. But how do you really connect with people? Like if somebody was listening and they're like, you know, I feel like I don't have a lot of friends. I don't feel like I'm really connected with a lot of people. Lots of lonely people out there, Mickey. Man, what would you say to that person who's really seeking connection?
I would say I have a lot of connections, absolutely. You know, it's come with my job, you know, being out in the community of Prince Albert. But I would honest to God say that I have probably, besides my family, you know, my kids and stuff, but I have a handful of very, very, very good friends that I know that I can just call or text or, you know, get together with. But those, you know, five people, I know that they would drop everything for me and I would do the same for them. So I really think it's just having that very core group. You don't need 100 friends. You need a handful that you know that you can count on to be there and that will talk with you, talk to you, listen to you, cry with you, whatever the case may be, just be there to support you. So my advice would be to find your people. And, you know, honestly, I probably have five that I know are just my best friends, you know.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, for sure I do, and I have a lot of connections. And I know that all those people also support me. But emotionally, I really know that I have those five people that I can count on, and they can count on me.
And to really focus on those. Hey, everyone. I'm just popping in to let you know that I am not only your podcast host, but I am also a speaker. If you're planning an event, either in person or virtually, I invite you to consider me. I have a real passion for helping people be the best that they can be. And through my keynotes, I teach them how to own that power. My goal is always to lead people better than I found them. And by sharing stories that uplift and practical strategies that they can apply to their lives, I believe it helps them show up as the best that they can be, making a positive impact in their homes, workplace, and community. Please feel free to reach out to me at corliss.ca if you want to tell me about your event and see how I can support it. You remind me of it was T.D. Jakes, actually. I'd never even heard of him until this simple episode came across my pep talk, an app that I have. And he was talking about the three different types of relationships that you have in your life. And he breaks them into the confidant is the person who is there for you. Like they are there for you and they will be there for you. They go up with you, they go down with you, they're there for you. And then he said, if you have two or three of those in your entire lifetime, you're so blessed. And I was like, when I first heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, I have like 50, like what? And then he went to the next one, which is called the constituent. And the constituent confuses you and makes you think that they're a confidant, but they're not. They're there for the cause. They're there for, they align with the things that you're doing, but they're not there with you. They're there for the cause. So when the cause goes away for whatever the need is, then they go away too. And I just remember feeling so incredibly empowered by that because I was like, wait a second. Let's put people in the place where they really are. I was actually feeling hurt by constituents when they were never there for me. I thought they were. And they weren't. They were there for whatever it is that I was doing. They were there to work with me on whatever it was because it benefited them. And then when the purpose was fulfilled, they were gone too, right? And I just remember feeling like that was super powerful because I was so hurt by that a lot of the times. I was so confused. And the last one, he says the comrade, where it's like they fight the same fight as you. And don't worry, they'll kill you in the battlefield if they get the chance. If they could partner with someone else. And I was like, oh my, I hope I don't have any of those in my life. But anyway, the way he explained it, I mean, look it up on YouTube. It's there, T.D. Jakes. And It was just so incredibly empowering because it helped me really understand what relationships are, and that sometimes the loneliness I was creating was because I was seeing a relationship or something it wasn't. And as soon as I knew not to do that, then I could focus on loving the people that were there in my corner no matter what. And that's where I put my energy. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, you have a lot of people, you know, on your Facebook friends, but how many of them could you call if you needed something like a kidney, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which, you know, so, you know, it's really, it's not the quantity, it's the quality in my books of my friendships that I really, that I value. I really do value them. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you said something pretty key right there, actually, that you value them. So it's like, you know, really focus your value on who they are, really be there for them. And somehow that creates something so beautiful that they'll do the same for you.
Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about anything else that you would like to share as far as helping people with how to love their lives.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's finding that support. It's finding a hobby. I have a lot of little hobbies that I like to do that just takes me, you know, back to just being, you know, really with myself and just spending time in peace and quiet. It doesn't always need to be busy. It doesn't always need to be a party this and going here and going there. Spending just quiet time by yourself. I also love those moments and I have a lot of them, and it really gives me time to think about what's important and work on what's important, you know, which is my family and those core people and my work. That's obviously important too.
Mm-hmm. You said a lot there. Actually, I think that that's really brilliant advice, you know, because I think sometimes we think it's all in the social and the busy and the doing. And it's like, no. Just pull it back. What is it that you really enjoy? By the way, I want to know what your hobbies are. And then, like, the things that really matter, like you said, what's really important to me? I think that's such a question that we forget to ask ourselves. So then we're striving for something in our lives that is out there when we miss what's happening right here. So I think the real key question to ask ourselves if we're looking to have a really happy life is, what really matters to you? What is most important to you, and how can you build on that? And then focus all of your energy there. You're going to feel joy. You're going to feel happy because you're doing what's important to you and what matters to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow, this is good.
I'm watching your face right now and I'm like, oh, this
I'm
is
like, oh my God.
I can see you. Yeah, these are powerful thoughts, right? But yeah. It's so true though, I think it's like, perhaps we, you know, what we need to explore is not only how to have a happy life and how to love your life, but why do we focus on what isn't and chasing something that isn't there, and we miss like what's right in front of us.
Wowzer. So tell us about your hobbies, because I can honestly tell you, I'm going to venture a guess that some of the listeners are just like me, that I have been that person that has been so busy doing all the things. And, you know, at the Swinging with the Stars last weekend, when Trevor said, oh, Corliss is like busy doing all this. And I am. That's very true. I had a very busy couple of years here. And he messaged me after and he said, you know, your superpower is like doing everything really big and you succeed at it. And I said, interesting that you say that, because I am like wanting to simplify and scale back to not doing so much and kind of getting back to doing some of like hobbies and things like that. And then I was like, where would I even start? I don't even know what I like to do. Can you share some ideas?
Well, I am in my sourdough era. So that's fun.
What is that? I don't know what a sourdough era is.
Well, because it's like the Taylor Swift era, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, your mom area. Yeah. So I've taken up sourdough the last couple months. I'm making all kinds of sourdough. My kids are loving it. My grandkids are loving it. Even the neighbors are loving it. I'm a crafter. My husband bought me a Cricut a couple years ago, and I love that Cricut. I'll make shirts, bags, cups. And bookmarks. Now lately I'm making bookmarks. I don't know why. I just decided I'll make bookmarks.
Well, because you read novels, so that makes
I do.
sense.
I love to read, and I love to read. I belong to a little book club, and I love reading everything. Everything. So,
Interesting. Okay. Sourdough era. So we all
I'm
have to
gonna make a
find,
t-shirt.
we need to find our era of like what we're gonna call it. Yeah, we need
Yes,
something
you
like that.
do.
Because usually I go out to concerts to entertain myself, but it's like maybe I could just find something that is like more right here. So that's interesting. You're giving me some ideas here. So it could be baking, it could be cooking. Maybe I want to get into like cooking, like who knows, right? But we should try new things.
You should try new things. Sourdough. I'll drop you off
Sourdough.
some sourdough next, not next week. The week after, I'll drop you off a loaf of sourdough.
Oh, that would be so awesome. That'd be so awesome. Well, I do know that some people like gardening is like therapeutic. I mean, there's lots of things, but I think sometimes we need those ideas because we've all been so busy just living our lives that we've kind of forgotten to like, what do we really like doing, and to try some different things, you know, to rediscover that again.
Absolutely.
Interesting. All right, Mickey, anything else that you would like to share with the listeners before we close off with our final three questions?
I just enjoyed this. It's good just to talk about stuff.
It is. Yeah, real life stuff, isn't it? Well, that's actually why I call the podcast a real leadership podcast, because for me, leadership is about influence. Actually, if you look it up in Webster's dictionary, that leadership is an initiative and an action, an example to follow. That's what leadership is. And, you know, in past generations, leadership has been defined as a title or role, and someone who's in a management position or leading a country. But that's really not it, especially since social media, we have actually evolved to the place where we're all influencing each other. And in a lot of my teachings, like I'll even say, who was the first person that influenced you when you were a child? Well, of course, it's your parents. They were leading you, right? So we are leading. So it's interesting that we're talking about this conversation because we influence in everything we do. Words matter, how we show up matters, what we say matters, how we respond to people, how we approach life. It all matters and it all influences, and we're all leading. So thank you so much for your leadership today. Now, if I could ask you, that's my definition of leadership. What about you? What's leadership mean to you?
Well, I think first of all, having a, knowing what your passion is and your belief, because if you don't believe in that, you're not going to lead people. But just, sharing that passion, whatever it is for me, it's always been early learning and childcare. So I can lead people and I can share that passion. And I think I do it with, respect and, it's a tough one, and I have it written down, but I can't even read it. but it's just, sharing that passion and that drive and those beliefs with your community and with the people around you.
That's good. That's really good. So find out what you're passionate about. See, Mickey, a lot of people that show up in my work, they come to me because they're looking to reignite their lives for sure. And a lot of them have, probably landed in the middle stage of life where the first part of their lives were really about figuring out what they wanted to do, building that life that they've decided. And then they land in this place where it's like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what I like. I don't even know what I'm passionate about. And that goes back to us trying new things. So, did you always know that you were passionate about early childhood development?
Yep. My mom will tell you that it started when I was four and I got my baby sister, which was my real life doll. And I was four. Keep in mind, Corliss, I was four. My mom laid down to have a nap because she has just had this baby. And this is however many years ago, 47 years ago. And mom woke up and there I was. And I had my baby sister, Michelle, in my arms. And I said, I'm four. And I said to her, here you go, mom. I changed her and everything. And my mom's like, you did what? I had changed her cloth diaper with pins And I wrapped her all back up. I changed her and I handed her to my mom, and I was 4. And I mean, my sister was just always, she was my life doll that my mom and dad gave to me. And my mom, you know, she's always said, you will be in childcare some way or another, because I just always loved children. And I just believe in the importance of early learning and childcare, and that, you know, valuing every child, no matter what their, you know, diversity is, their needs, their race, their anything, like all children are important. And their brains develop most between the ages of 0 and 5 years old. And that's when we need to support these children. And that's why Hope's Home has always been such a passion of mine, and early learning and childcare. So, my whole heart just like bursts when I talk about it, because I'm just so passionate about it. But yeah, so since the age of 4, when I changed my sister's diaper.
Amazing. Amazing. Now, I really wanted to kind of pull that back. We're going to get to the last two questions, but there's one more thing here that keeps coming to mind, because a lot of people maybe don't know what their passions are. So I'm going to encourage you to think back to something that you've always loved, something you've always enjoyed, something that has always been very natural for you, and follow that. Like, follow it or re-explore it or go back to it. So I'm going to just share a brief story here. I remember one time, so when I was a child, I used to get into trouble all the time for telling stories. And I thought it was a really bad thing. Like, as if I started thinking that I'm like being a liar, that they thought I was a liar when I wasn't. I was literally me being my creative brain. I just saw things like in such a story. I was just always been that person. And over the years, of course, I learned to telling stories. And then I was doing this training. So when I was starting my company, I was watching this training, trying to figure out, you know, what I was going to be doing and reinventing my life. What was my passion? I was trying to find it. And I was watching all these personal growth and development seminars. And this one guy, I don't even know who the heck he was. But anyway, he was on this screen. I remember sitting in my office watching the screen, and he's like, storytelling is a gift. And I was like, what? And he was like, storytelling is a gift. Like, you can create. And he was literally talking about making money telling stories. And I was like, what? I was so taken back. I was like, wait a second. I've always been a natural storyteller. I love people's stories, hence why I have a podcast. I love picking people's brains. I'm always wanting to learn. I'm always looking at like the more bigger picture, the deeper meaning of things. I love knowing that stuff. That's always been me. And then I was like, I don't even know who this man is that's teaching this seminar, but I'm like, wait a second. I could make a career out of something that I love doing. Wait a second. What's happening here right now? So Mickey's given you an example. I've given you an example. Think back to what you've always loved doing. Is there a chance that that could be something that you could pursue, whether it be as a career or that you just spend more time as that on your hobby?
Awesome. I love it.
Worth thinking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
The next question, you said you love books. So if there was a book that was life-changing for you.
You know, I've tried to read, you know, the self-help, you know, books, and I have a really hard time. I'm a fiction girl, but there is a book, and it's sitting right on my desk, and I look at it so often, and it's called 1001 Ways of Leadership, and it's just quotes, and I pick that book up probably 4 or 5 times a week just to look, see what's different. It's got 1001 different quotes of leadership. And so that book, it's just always right here in my vision, just reminding me, you know, what a good leader is and what I need to strive for. But I am a fiction book.
Well, you know what? That's actually good for those who want to love their lives. Sometimes you need to withdraw and just read something that's made up, right? So, yeah. So the book is called 1001 Ways of Leadership.
Yep.
Okay. And who's it by?
It's just this tiny little book.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And it's just full of quotes. It doesn't even have an author, because it's got all.
It's leadership quotes. Right. Yeah. Excellent.
It's right here and reminds me every day that I need to be a good leader.
And that you're leading 100%. And sometimes it's that simple. It's just making that quick mindset shift, reading a quote, something that's going to inspire you and remind you that's fabulous, actually. Thanks for sharing. Okay, so the final question. In all of the experiences that you've had in your life, all the highs, all the lows, everything that's ever happened, if you were to leave just one really strong piece of wisdom or advice with everyone, what would you want to leave them with?
I think I know that life is a journey and our journeys are all the same or different. They're not the same. Our journeys are all different and everybody's got a unique one, and it's okay to make mistakes along the way. But just always be kind to yourself, be resilient, and move forward with courage and optimism and positivity. It's hard. Some days it's really hard, but I'm just always going back to that and remembering this is a journey, and we're all headed to the same place in the end, but our paths are different and it's okay to be different. And just be yourself. Be yourself.
Embrace that. Thank you so much for taking the time to share with us today, Mickey. You are awesome. I love my life more now, 30 minutes later, than I did 30 minutes ago, just because I was in your presence. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Corliss. It, we've had a journey together too, and I appreciate every moment, and thank you for just being Corliss. You're amazing.
Thank you so much, Mickey. You guys take care, everybody. Thank you again. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought you value, make sure and share it with a friend or screenshot it and post it to your Instagram story or Facebook, tagging me at Corliss Co. I know the most precious of all commodities is your time, and I want to thank you all very much for spending this time with me today. Remember, you have the power to lead. Know your worth, embrace your value, see you have purpose, and be the leader you are meant to be.